Well, friends, why is there suffering? How would the Apostle Paul answer this question? He would say, I believe, because God wants glory. John Piper has pointed out it's more than that, though. God wants us, his redeemed people, to enjoy praising him for his astounding display of glory in his grace towards humanity. Now, that may sound very strange to many of us. How can suffering possibly have any reason for praise and glory? Well, when Piper said this, he was explaining Ephesians, the first few verses of Ephesians chapter 1. And he chiefly had in mind the unjust suffering and death of Jesus Christ. Now, when anyone complains about the problem of evil and suffering, they must first inquire about this most unjust evil and suffering in all the world. The death of Jesus Christ, the biggest tragedy and wrongdoing in all the world. Now, answering that question will help us to answer many other questions concerning suffering and evil in the world. Although we cannot and must not do evil that good may come, God, in his wisdom, permitted evil to come to pass so that a greater good would become manifest and clear. God permitted Adam and Eve's sin so that the world would see and his people would enjoy and savour the glory of his saving grace in Jesus Christ. This is how Piper actually puts it. Thus, we may say, and I quote, "As for you, Adam and Eve, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Your purpose in sinning was the vain pursuit of pleasure through self-exalting autonomy. God's purpose in permitting your sin was to give his people the pleasure of seeing and savouring the glory of his grace and the inexpressible suffering and triumphs of his Son." Now, that's in his new book, Providence, page 177, John Piper. Now, God permitted sin then in order that the greatest joy could be experienced by a number no man could number. Purposes and consequences are very important elements in planning ahead. The intention and goal of a scheme is vital in considering its value and worth. It was Adam and Eve's intention and desire to become gods that was evil. That was the evil in eating the forbidden fruit. It was God's intention, on the other hand, to show mankind how gracious he was in permitting his holy, perfect Son, sinless Son, to suffer and die the cursed death of the cross, which was the greatest and most evil injustice in all the world. In eternity, before the world began, God planned the beautiful concept of forgiveness. In a sense, forgiveness is unreasonable, unjust, and against law. Sin in and of itself is evil and merits and deserves punishment. By the nature of the case, it is just and right to punish evil. But God displayed his love and grace in designing a way whereby forgiveness could be found and justice would satisfy the ill desert of sin. Forgiveness has properties that removes and cleanses from all unrighteousness and sin. As in 1 John 1 verse 9, total and complete forgiveness is beautiful. But we sinners, we need more than just cleansing from our sins, because sin has damaged our nature and we are inherently corrupt, and it is only a matter of time, and a very short time at that, before we sin again and need another cleansing. But the glory of God's forgiveness is that it carries an imputed righteousness with it, which belongs to us and is actually ours. We're therefore legally seen and accepted as righteous in God's eyes, in God's sight. And this imputed righteousness is received by faith, which enables the sinner to turn in his heart to God and to live for God instead of living for ourselves. Now, no one but God himself, in his love and mercy, could have thought up or imagined such a concept as this wonderful forgiveness. Now, this wonderful forgiveness could only have been achieved through suffering, through the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. It could not have been achieved unless God permitted and planned for the awful suffering of Christ, his Son. Our salvation comes not simply through the gracious life and good works of Jesus Christ, but through the sufferings of the cross of Christ. Paul cried out, "Far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Galatians 6:14. The sufferings of Christ played a vital part in Paul's assurance of salvation. The two disciples on the way to Emmaus had this same problem of relating the sufferings and death of Christ to the glory of salvation. So Jesus rebuked them by saying, "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" That's Luke 24, verse 26. And Jesus brought these two disciples through the scriptures, showing how necessary it was that the Messiah should suffer. And it's there in scripture when we study and examine it and the Holy Spirit enlightens us. Now, the Apostle Peter commended the Old Testament prophets for their interest in searching out what the scriptures were indicating and predicting about the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories that we're to follow that, 1 Peter 1, verse 11. And Paul would argue that our enjoyment and comfort in the Lord is closely connected with our understanding and belief in the sufferings of Christ. We read that, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." And one translation reads, "For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it's for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you." That's in 2 Corinthians 1:5 in the New Living Translation. So, in the end, it is actually our ignorance of how evil sin is and how it deserves punishment that impedes our understanding of why God permits suffering in this world. God is impeccably just, but he wants to be merciful too. He really wants us forgiven. So he designed a way to be merciful while maintaining his justice. We would never be able to understand the greatness of God's mercy, the greatness of his love, unless we witness it in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And so, friends, every time you and I see or hear of pain and suffering anywhere in the world, and there's a lot, it ought to remind us of what Jesus Christ willingly and voluntarily suffered for us. He didn't need to suffer. He didn't need to come. But he wanted us to be forgiven. He wanted us to live forever with him in glory. How beautiful is that? It could not be achieved without his suffering, and of which we share if we believe and love and follow him. Well, may God bless these thoughts to us.